Coming up in today's podcast, the Wire march on to the Challenge Cup semi-final, but boy did they make it hard on themselves. Is the meaning of the universe all about a Warrington player? Brian Cox has the answer. Madam Boyd hints at our special guest. What did you, the listener, make of the Steve Price tackle on Wolfie? And as we battle to hold on to second spot, we look forward to the Wire versus Catalans match. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Yeah, I just took my slippers off and my feet stink, but carry on.
Oh, dear. Hello, I'm Rob London, and it's yet another First Light morning recording for me. But one promises to be chirpy, like the early bird catching the worm. Joining me on the pod are my two podcast night owls. Yes, first up, as graceful as a barn owl, with magnificent plumage and with stealth vision to spot the slightest idiosyncrasy of the closest of Super League games, it's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Rob. How the devil are you?
I'm very well. Now, you're probably pretty happy this evening. You've just watched the Champions League final, seen Liverpool win 2-0.
Yes, I've seen my team win 2-0. It was an awful game, but it doesn't matter. I've seen my team win. Oh, don't be snoring. Mr. Lomax tweeted him celebrating in Madrid already.
Fair enough.
Going to worm my way onto that trip next year.
Well, talking of worms, he's no owl, but as blind as a bat when it comes to the game of day analysis. No doubt hanging out at the back of his cave, all covered in bat shit, and with his sonar paralysed to only offering left-sided tantric signals, it's Dennis Waywell. Hello, Dennis.
Thank you. Such a lovely introduction there. Really, very kind of you there. Very kind. Well,
so what's been happening in the cave down in Glastonbury this week?
Well, not a lot. I decided to have a look anyway on the back of our game. Look at Bolton, see if it was worthwhile a day out. I had a quick look there. I got slightly distracted. You know when you go on the internet and then you go down a rabbit hole. I started looking at this guy who is basically getting stuff out the canal with a magnet, and it was quite intriguing. Like, you know, how many bikes and anyway. That, like I say, you got sidetracked there. But anyway, Bolton, it's got its old brewery, actually. Bank Brewery, Top Beers, Gold Digger, and Flat Cap, which I can put on right now. Oh. I've got my own Flat Cap there. And actually, Flat Cap, Bolton, who does that remind you of?
What, Andy Cap?
No.
Andy Cap. Who?
No. Fred Dibner.
Good old Fred. Yeah. I saw him at the Cheshire Feet Steam... Cheshire Steam Fair once.
Yeah,
he went past on one of his engines, and he went, "That was all right, wasn't it?"
Well, funny enough, I've got a few quotes from good old Fred.
Let Rob do them. He seemed to come alive then.
Let's have a look at your accent then with this one. I've never fallen off a big chimney. You only fall off them once. Go on, Rob.
I've never fell out of a big chimney. Just like that.
Wrong county. Other one.
Now then.
One mistake up here, and it's half a day with an undertaker. That's quite philosophical, isn't it?
Didn't he used to knock the bricks in from the outside? Didn't he sort of go to the top and then just like hammer every brick in from the top into the middle till he created a furnace, and then he'd set fire to the furnace at the bottom, thus leading to the collapse of the tower?
You're shit at, aren't you? Mechanics and everything. Nothing like that. But anyway, thirdly...
They've knocked down the SFS in Sydney today, or the other day. They've demolished it. They're building a new Sydney Football Stadium in the... and boy, they must have used some dynamite. One press of a button and the whole thing went up. Boom.
Is that a big carpet shop?
Oh.
Yeah.
Call yourself a rugby man.
Third quote, Mr. Fred Dibner, favourite one. You'll like this. Teaching boys to bake cakes, that's no way to maintain an industrial empire. I like that.
Sexist, isn't it?
True,
really?
But, you know, imagine the bakers in our team. Right? Well, we have already talked about Depp Patton and his chocolate pudding. I don't know what on earth he could be on about.
Well, talking of depth pattern, did anyone see the Man of Steel points at the Anfield game? 3 points awarded to Deck Patton. Can you explain that to me, Sam, please, how he got the 3 points? For kicking 5 goals in front of the sticks, dropping on a ball from Tom Lynham, and completely missing a tackle that led to the Wigan try. How did he get the 3 points? Just bearing in mind that Blake Austin completely changed the game in an absolute moment of magic.
I think it's probably, they were probably working on a most improved player performance point system.
Are you getting
33.333 and they gave him one of the threes.
Yeah.
Should be renamed the Man of Charity Steel points then, shouldn't it, or something? Unbelievable.
Has it got under your skin a bit, that, Rob, this week, has it?
It got under my skin a bit. I mean, there's been a few wonders of the universe this week. I've started watching the new Brian Cox show about the planets, and I thought somehow the universe might all be linked into Deck Patton.
Science of how Deck Patton to begin, even questions of what may have been there. Is Deck Patton eternal? Is there such a thing as before the Big Bang? What is the future of Deck Patton? How does complexity emerge spontaneously? Deck Patton. I mean, we sort of take it for granted that we there's a Big Bang and it's all hot and it's just this kind of hot glow.
Deck Patton.
And out of that, spontaneously, in 13.8 billion years, you get something like the Earth with a civilization and life on it. So how does that
Deck
Patton, science of how Deck Patton to begin, even questions of what may have been there, is
Deck
Patton eternal? Is there such a thing as before the Big Bang? What is the future of
Deck
Patton? How does complexity emerge spontaneously?
Right, we should probably move on to the Hull KR game. Warrington team was. Now, we've got a new pronunciation of his name here, Dennis, because we've gone for Memo. I've been calling him Mamo, but it turns out now on Sky, they call him Marmo. Did you hear that? They somehow put an R in the name there. So it's Marmo.
Probably Marmo, Lynham, Dan South.
Marmo, Lynham, Goodwin King, Charnley, Austin. Hill, Clark, Cooper Hughes, Curry Philbin. On the interchange bench was Ben Murdoch-Masilla, Jason Clark, Akawala, and the young Matty Davis came in for the hooker. So final score was Hull KR 22, Warrington 28. 10th minute. Takes to the 10th minute yet again before we have any scores. Mamo crosses for the opening try of the night for Patton to add on the extras to make it 6-0.
You've done it wrong already. It's Marmo.
Marmo crosses for the opening try.
Austin Massoy with the tackle. It's 25 metres away, though, the Wolves. Here is Patton. It's a really nice ball. And Jake Marmo is in for the opening try for the Warrington Wolves. The favourites strike first in East Yorkshire.
First of all, any qualms on the try and the run made, I think it was by Jack Hughes?
No, I didn't. But you're right. If early last year, they were going upstairs for those type of decisions and they were chalking him off. But I had no issue with that. It was a great move. It was great timing between Patton and Marmo. And actually, this last week, I've been learning a bit of Latin for you. So you could say that Deck Patton saltu miser balbutins.
When are we having the Latin? Oh, that was the Latin, was it? Sorry.
Yeah, he gave him a stutter pass.
Inconsistency again from the referees in English Super League. Earlier this year, Curry went through a gap at Wakefield. We went to the video ref. It was ruled out. This one was no different whatsoever. Yet they give the try. 20th minute.
I agree with you completely.
20th minute. Lynham is...
I missed. You were in the pub then. First 50. Yeah, no. I was running back at that time. I didn't miss anything, obviously.
20th minute. Lynham is Simbind for a late tackle.
Joe Philbin with an important tackle, but they're not done yet here. Hawkins and Rose. There might be something for Ben Crooks on this right-hand side. Cut came in the other way.
Is that Jimmy Kinehorse? You can just see him on.
He's to channel that aggression in a better direction as he currently is doing. He's got 10 minutes and a yellow card for that challenge.
Your thoughts on this one, Dennis? I noticed he shaved all his hair off. You were pleased to see that?
Well, not necessarily the hair that's gone off, but I think it helped. The point I want to make here is I think this is the first real bit of aggression that we've had in this season. And I think this is the point where it sets a stall out for everybody in terms of, like, you know, we've never really sort of like been, you know, really punching our way in a game. It just seems to be all like quite sort of, what's the word, clinical, I suppose. But this was a real big sort of like show that I think once we'd actually made that sort of problem, and he sort of got sent off, didn't he? And then Patton went with him. And I know we'll get onto that. But everybody sort of like then sort of backing each other up, weren't they? And I think that we'd not really sort of seen that in its true sort of intent. So, yeah, big sea change, I thought that was.
Yeah. It was good. Emma Simpson tweeted to say, so the skinheads arrived. I like it. Don't like the late tackle, but he made up for it with the hair, or lack of hair, I guess. So thanks for that one. I have to say, I'm very impressed with Lynham at the moment. I think he's been on fire the last couple of weeks. Since we had a talking to him, Sam, bringing the ball back from his own line, boy, he makes some meters. He's going in hard into the tackle, and then there's a good leg drive as well.
Well, we did point out he needed to pull his finger out, didn't we? And we did give him a bit of a pep talk, and he's taken that on board, clearly.
We did. Well, 22nd minute, great bit of defending by Curry, holding up George Lawler up over the line.
That's Anthony Maria, and Maguire with a really nice ball. This could be a whole response, but that's a brilliant tackle.
Held him up. Terrific.
Brilliant tackle there. Tackle four. He is held up.
Tackle four. Tackle
George off. Lawler, the man, but he was denied by a brilliant...
Curry... Are we upgrading him to that sort of mid-range Curry now based on that performance?
Yeah, I'd give him what would you say, De Piazza again? Is he back there?
I'm not sure. I think he maybe have moved more into a Malaysian or Thai-style Curry because there's a little bit of flair in there, but then it's also got the sort of subdued levels of ginger flowing through his play as well. So somewhere, Massamad beef curry or something on those lines possibly. That's what I'd go for. 26th minute, it got even worse for Warrington in terms of players on the pitch because Patton is sent off as well and Wyatt are down to 11 men.
Now Garbutt. Put to the deck by Jake Marmo. And he channeled up for something. They just about scrambled right to the nick of time there, Warrington. There's a ball steal now.
Well, there's another one going in the sin bin here, I think.
For a ball steal. It's another yellow card.
Dennis has just talked about that sort of bonding we seem to have amongst the players and the true grit we stuck in. Sam, you mentioned it on WhatsApp. They played very well for those minutes when the two players were off the field.
Yes, they were outstanding, actually. Let's be fair. Under duress, as Dennis said, they played for each other. They stood up not to concede points when you've not got the ball you've hardly got the ball for about 17 minutes. There was some great defence, not just individual efforts, but in efforts as a team. Brilliant, it was.
Yeah, best 20 minutes of the season, that.
Okay, all right. I'm just going to backtrack a little bit because I'm going to move on to something that happened next. But I'm going to give Patton credit where it's due. Early on in the game, he did kick a ball downfield and chased it very well. And brought, I think it was the fullback or the winger down. It was very good. They even dragged him over the line, I think. And we got a repeat set. On to the minute just before half-time, Wyatt send the ball out to the right, then sort of Blake Austin throws it back to the left. He carries on the move. The ball comes out to the left to Goodwin, who finds a gap. Austin has followed the ball across the field. He's there on the inside supporting, and he takes the ball from Goodwin to score. Patton converts, and we're 12-0 up.
Darrell Clark fires the ball wide for Jason Clark, and that's some good footwork to evade the first couple of defenders. Here is Ben Curry. And now Goodwin. Goodwin cuts back on the inside. A brilliant ball. And Blake Austin is going to go over. 60 seconds left in this first period. And Warrington strike for the second time. Blake Austin scored an absolute classic at Anfield a week ago.
Again, that marquee money, Sam. You know, finding something out of nothing. Following the ball around the field. Almost like a kid at a five-year-old watching a football match when they chase the ball around the park.
Yes, you talked about it actually when you were... when you were talking about the 3 points for Man of Steel at Anfield, Austin was quiet last week, and then he comes up with a play that nobody else does, and he did it again there. It was nothing was on. He got involved in the move three times, and he's right on the end of it to put the ball down when it matters. He scores the points.
Now, I just want to point out, if you actually go back and all the listeners, if you go back and watch this try, just watch the difference between Austin and Patton in this play. The whole play, Patton is standing flat-footed watching it go on. And even when the ball comes out to the left, where it's clearly Patton should start interjecting himself in that play, he still stands back. Goodwin goes through the gap. We have three or four players that follow it. Patton is 20 yards behind, still standing still. The difference between Austin and Patton there, I thought, had never been a bigger contrast all season.
Yeah, but they're paid differently, aren't they?
Good point, Dennis.
Thank you.
Dennis brings it round there. That's why we have him on.
Yes.
A couple of words. He's back in the game. He's back in the game. Right, half-time, 12-0. At 43rd minute, it gets even better for the Wire, with Lynham forcing his way over in the corner. Patton misses from the touchline, and it's 16-0 to the Wire.
The tacklers for Kingston Rovers. They're just 10 metres away. They're the Warrington Wolves. This would be a really important time to strike, and Lynham trying to do it, and Lynham is stretched over. The former Hull FC man. He was simmered in the first half, and he's come back to strike at the heart of Hull Kingston Rovers.
Sam, you okay with that try? Again, there was a little bit of sort of, players running through the line.
I thought this was more dodgy than the first one, actually. Again, if he'd gone up to the... It was one of them. If he'd gone to the screen and he'd said, try, it had probably been given. If he'd gone up to the screen and said, no try, it had been given no try. It was a 50-50 decision.
Well, I'm just thinking back to the semi-final last year at St Helens, and again we had Robert Hicks as the referee. Certainly nothing wrong with the Lynham try that led to the win for Warrington that day. But yet again, he refused that evening to go up to the big screen, if you remember rightly. He goes over to his touch judge, asks his touch judge a question, and then he gave the try. Maybe it's time we look at some stats, which referees go to the video ref the most and which don't, because Robert Hicks is starting to show a rhythm of not going up there.
I can make those figures up for next week. No, sorry. I can investigate those figures for next week. No problem.
Yeah.
Dear. Dennis used to like popping a video in with his old girlfriends, didn't you, Dennis? Glass of bottle of wine. Hey, run up to the. What was your video rental shop of choice there, Dennis? Where you were? What was the one that you would go to?
I don't know. I do remember it. It was in Orford. It was on the end of Orford Lane. Yeah, it's quite a... I think every time you opened one of the cases, it was quite sticky. I don't know what,
Dear. All right, 53rd minute, and surely the game is over. Ben Murdoch-Masila crashing through a tackle, and his large body mass sees a tangible momentum take him over the line. Patton successful with the kick, and we're 22-0 up.
Patton. Austin. Back on the inside, Ben Murdoch-Masila close range. Ben Murdoch-Masila unstoppable, and Warrington go further ahead. As soon as Ben Murdoch-Masila was in the frame, 10 metres out, you knew there was going to be a problem.
Dennis, game's over, isn't it? That's it. Good night.
Well, it should be, shouldn't it? I mean, at least Ben Murdoch-Masila's been listening to us, hasn't he, eh? He knows how to fall with the ball now after last week. And you're not far behind him weight-wise. Although, you have lost a lot of weight. Have you lost all this weight? Anyway, tell us how you've lost all your weight.
I've lost 10 pounds in 7 days. 10 pounds in 7 days. I'm now on track to be 7'6" when I come over to England. I'll be the same weight as Willie Carson, unlike you, Dennis, who's the same weight as Sam Bacco at the moment, aren't you? So,
Sam Bacco? Who's he?
Look it up. Oh, it's not right. Flattering.
So how have you lost this weight? What have you done?
Not eating, a huge amount of masturbation in a hot room, and just not worrying as much, really. Finally sorted out, secured the booking for Dubai. Now Lee will be pleased over there in the United Arab Emirates. So it's all on track. All on track.
Very good.
Just a little bit difficult at the moment because I'm between sizes, which is always a bit of a shame. But I'm on the right way. I'm on the right way. Sam. What went wrong? We're 22-0 up. Game's over, isn't it? It's just all about management of winning the game. Steve Price has spoken about this. We carried on throwing the ball around.
You're quite
giving
right.
Penalties
You're
away.
Quite right. Steve Price said, I thought for 50 minutes we were excellent. Given the circumstances, Steve Price came on and said, the 20 minutes after half-time were in control. We were 22-0 up, but I was very disappointed with our attitude and discipline, especially with the ball at the back end of the game. You could say we became headless chickens, or in Latin, that's temerarium pulum. Temerarium pulum.
He's pronounced.
We had a loss of composure.
Absolutely shit, Sam.
I know.
We were shit, yeah.
No, your pronunciations.
Oh, I've never been good at pronunciation. I'm very good at my French, reading it and reading the menu. I'm not very good at actually asking for it.
I'd expect better off you two being south of the river. I mean, Latin, you must have done, what, twice a week when you were at school, is it?
No. They just took that out when Rob and I started, because we are quite young. They just stopped caning as we started school, and they just dropped Latin from the syllabus.
Well, rather Latin, we should probably go into English. Later in the year, we've got Ben Murdoch-Masilla coming on the podcast, Sam. It's been set up as we speak. It's going to be a one-on-one with you. So I'll refer back to your WhatsApp message that you tweeted during the game. Ben Murdoch-Masilla is a fucking idiot. Nothing wrong with that challenge. Possibly mention that to him on the podcast when he comes on.
I will do. I might not use quite the right same words, but yeah, that's fine.
Have you got that one in Latin, Sam? No. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Okay. Well, let's move on then. So 53rd minute, and things start to go a little bit the other way. Goodwin is stripped of the ball by Ben Crooks. He races away with Curry in pursuit, but he can't catch him. The conversion is missed, and it's 22-4. First time we've really seen Curry stretch his legs since the knee ops. Looked all right, didn't he? Was never going to really run him down, but he gave it a good shot.
Yes, he did. He did. And
I'm pleased that he reacted better than you two did then when he saw the blow, because you two are still on the halfway line then. Jesus.
I mean, is a bloke running after another bloke and he didn't chase him down, did he? You said, I tell you what, he probably would have chased him down a few years ago. So,
never mind. I tell you what, there was plenty of stewards chasing down a very attractive girl on the Champions League final in the first half.
Oh, don't worry. Let's not talk too much about this. I've got this on tackle bags. I've got it all covered.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, 62nd minute, and there's a clever switch by Hull KR. There's an inside pass. It finds Curry wanting. Curry sort of darted out of the line, and Drinkwater goes in under the post. No problem with the kick, and it's 22-10 to the wire. Then on the 64th minute, interesting one here, Patton misses a penalty. It was clear, I thought, right from the penalty, he wasn't going to reach. He wasn't going to put the ball dead. And, of course, he didn't put the ball dead, and he misses. Dennis?
Yeah, I spotted something as well when I was watching it, and they were all discussing what to do, whether to take the kick or not. And I think they decided, and then there was a little like body language bit of like Depp Patton sort of almost looking and saying, well, I don't think I can get it, but I'll have a go at it sort of thing. And I thought to myself, you know, someone should at least be telling him, right, just boot it, but kick it straight and make sure it goes dead. The worst thing you can do on this occasion, but listen to this, I'm going to go against myself now. He sort of kick it to the left. He needed to really hold it to the right so it'd go dead. And I think that was a big mistake, that.
I'd have thought from that position, Sam, the person who bangs that ball over or at least puts it dead is Blake Austin. Blake Austin's got such a boot on him that, you know, at least you're getting the ball back. But it was absolutely criminal to cut it short, to hook it across the goal and then, you know, let them come out from that. And then from that, they actually go on and score.
I don't think Austin should have taken it at all. Patton was a designated kicker, and the key was what you've just said. He hooked it across the face of the sticks. If it had kicked the goal, we go an extra score ahead. That's what he should have done, but his form went. He pulled it, and yeah, from pulling it, they get the ball, and suddenly we're under big pressure.
Well, I think, you know, we are missing Ratchford because so far Patton has not kicked a difficult kick. All his kicks he's kicked have been easy kicks. He's missed one from the touchline and he's missed that one. So make a note of that. 71st minute, clever kick close to the line by Hull KR, and Drinkwater's in again. Easy kick. and it's squeaky bum time, 22-16. And then on the 74th minute, there's the doodle bug from Austin. Grasped by King, a forward pass of about a metre to Austin, and Curry is in space. Patton doesn't miss, and it's 28-16.
Tim Sheens watches on intensely. Intently, I should say, is it is intense. Oh, it's brilliant. Smuggled out to Blake Austin, and Austin has support, and they're going to go in. Is that the match winner for Ben Curry and the Warrington Wolves? Possible heartache coming up for Hull Kingston Rovers.
Hull KR must be a bit, you know, aggrieved by that one, really, because it was a forward pass by Mile from King to Austin.
Mm. It was, yes. It was forward. But again, when it matters, Austin injects himself into the game. King steps up, like we noticed earlier in the year and back end of last season, steps up and actually takes the ball from the grasp of the fullback. And we got a bit
it's
of
very
luck
good at that.
Forward, but it was game over again. We've won the game twice already. And that's what started to get me frustrated. You mentioned my message to you about...
I've got it here, Ben Sam. Murdoch, I've got it here. Masilla. I'll read it to you. I've got it. Ben Murdoch Masilla is fucking shit. That's the word you...
No, I didn't say that. I think I said idiot. There was nothing wrong with the tackle. And we had both Patton and Murdoch Masilla losing the heads, becoming headless
yes,
chickens.
But it's all part of it, you see. The thing about it is, though, this is what we need, bit of aggression,
This is the difference. This is the difference between at the minute between Saints and Warrington. We've got the ability that Saints have got, but they're ruthless, whereas we let the other team back into the game. That's what the issue is at the minute.
It's all a plan to make sure that we can sort of think, right, we can come back from like the inevitable sort of close game or potential loss. It's all a plan, Sam. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I'll go with that.
There's a lack of competition, isn't there, in the British game at these clubs? Because, you know, if someone does that at Manly or you know, wherever in the NRL, the referee just pulls Patton to one side and says, right, you're going to have a think about that in reserve grade for 3 weeks and we'll just bring another lad into the first team. But there's no real pressure on Patton. You know, he does that. He's there again next week. There's just no one in the ranks to come through amongst the squad. It's such a small squad. Okay, 78th minute. Craig Hall waltzes across field. Austin takes a bit of a dummy. He's a bit under pressure and Craig Hall goes in. Kick goes over to mean that the game is still on. We're 28-22 with a few minutes to go. Are we going to go to golden point? Well, there's one more attempt by Hull KR, including a sort of frantically running ball across the field as the Hooter signs and a kick. But why a hang on? Final score, Warrington 28, Hull KR 22. I think we've summed it all up, haven't we, boys? Anyone else got to say anything on the match?
No, I think we have summed it up. And I think we've talked about Patton, we've talked about Warrington. Again, they're almost mirroring each other at the moment. Some good things. We've won the game, and then we just make it bloody hard for ourselves again. When you look at the stats, we actually ran with possession for 700 more metres than Hull, and we actually made 9 more tackle breaks than them. We really should have won that game by 30 points.
Yeah, well, yeah, what's the Latin phrase then for, you know? Oh, we always make it hard work of it or whatever. What is it?
Rob came
you're not
up gonna with
go
that
and
one,
work.
I think.
You're not going to go and work at the UN there as an interpreter very soon, are you, Dennis?
What do you mean?
Really?
Why, what's up?
Well, you just, you know, you asked me to translate some Latin and then you went, you know, what's that phrase that's,
hardest
you know,
work
making hard
is...
work of it? You know, you're like Dennis, it's sweet.
But,
you know, the North Korean translator's just been executed for apparently interpreting the American-North Korea conference wrong. Make a note of that, Dan, Sam. We'll put some peanut butter on his bollocks and get him in front of the Doberman tomorrow.
Please could we have the Latin translation for "we always make hard work of it"?
I'll come back to you. I have got it. I'll find it somewhere and have a
look.
We'll go on to the predict. I'll have you go on and give it us.
Semper enim nos facti labor. There you go.
What did we do before Google?
You're having a stroke there, Dennis.
I'm just making hard work of it.
Right, let's move on to the predictions. Dennis went 15-21 to the wire. But Sam and I both nailed it. We both went 22-16, so it's a point and I to Sam.
Hold on, hold on. Did you not notice?
I went 23. I think I was nearer.
No. We took you first.
I was using the Price is Right rules. I went under by one on each of you, but it didn't work.
Hang on, Rob. I remember last time, didn't the Challenge Cup get about 6 bonus points each?
No, what happens is that you two cancel each other out and I get a point. So who was your man of the match anyway?
Man of the match has to go to the marquee player, Tyrone Roberts. Blake Austin.
Blake Austin, performance car of the week.
Few cars were quite as happy as the Austin Spry, thanks to its hugely lovable nature. Owning one has been known to give any fan an equally large grin. The Austin Sprite offers a unique character that is simply charming, not to mention a whole lot more distinctive. So with its sleek design, lightweight chassis, and extremely direct acceleration, this week's Blake Austin Performance Car of the Week is... the Austin Sprite.
Get a move on, Austin. We'll never buy a Chuck Ace at that speed.
I've got Lynham down, actually, because the way he actually sort of he went off on one, did his bit, got sent off, came back, made amends, top bloke.
Funny enough, I thought it was Chris Hill who played the first 60 minutes when we got built up a 22-0 lead, and it was only really when he went off that we fell apart.
Well, we're in the semi-final draw. There was a couple of other results. We're still waiting on the Bradford Halifax as we go to recording. But Hull won 51-8 against Catalongs, as I will be calling them now. Catalongs for the rest of the season. Now, Hull 51, Catalongs 8, in Hull's ad hoc approach of how to play rugby league. Ridiculous, isn't it, Sam? I mean, last week they turn up at, well, they didn't turn up at Anfield, and then they go and put 50 points on Catalongs.
It does seem like that, doesn't it? It seems like they're playing when they want to. Although I'm not sure whether Catalan appreciated being away from home for that long, because they didn't go back home. They stayed in the UK from Anfield all the way through the week. So whether it was hotel,
they stayed in Anfield for a week.
Yeah, then That'll definitely do it, won't it?
It was very much a Catalong stay in the UK.
Very good.
All right.
The other score was St Helens 48, Wakefield 10. A lot of people, including Callum, thought that Wakefield would run up and do this one, hence why we've fired Callum from the show. So a good win for St Helens, and they march on. We'll go into the semi-final draw. There will be a First Division team in that semi-final draw. So someone's going to get an easy run to the final, aren't they? Hull, St Helens and Warrington will...
I think we'll get St Helens. What we're going to do if we get St Helens? Do you think it'll matter?
In a way, I'd almost prefer us to get St Helens in the semi-final than in the final. I don't know why. I just have that feeling that we might beat him in the semi, but we might lose at Wembley.
We certainly look to beat them because this week, Warrington gave us the opportunity to interview Josh Charnley. However, Josh is busy working on his game for the St Helens game, and he's not available for 5 weeks. So read into that what you want. Right, with Madam's Boyd's Balls being handled so roughly during recent... Madam's Boyd's Balls being handled so roughly during recent times, it was pleasing to hear Tony was back last week and handling them with his delicacy, similar to Len Ganley cleaning a cue ball. But if the darling of the psychic balls was coming at Tony at speed, would he charge them down? Oh, I miss the days of the Tony charge down. It's over to Madam Boyd.
Good evening, Dennis.
Oh, that's it again. How did you know it was me? Have you been reading tea leaves?
No, dear. Your picture display came up on the phone.
Well, you've been absolutely bang on with your predictions so far, Madam Boyd. What's this week's prediction?
Tony, It's time to play with my balls again, dear.
How's everything working out with Tony?
Yes, we've certainly made an extra special connection, haven't we, Tony, dear?
Passions allied again in terms of...
Tony, don't tell him our secret.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony, you're so frisky.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bit of a loving over there, Madam Boyd.
Not now, Dennis. Not while Tony's handling my bar. I see communications, interviews. Yes, your very own Paxman. I see him pulling it off.
If you're on about Rob London, he's always pulling it off. Can you be a bit more specific?
This interview must remain a secret. Instructions from the boss. Otherwise, George will be cross.
That's quite cryptic, that, Madam Boyd. I don't know if you can crack it. Can you give us anything else?
I'm afraid not, Dennis. Tony's take me up the attic. Aren't you, Tony?
Yeah. And in a respectful, respectable way.
Ooh, you are awful, Tony. But I like you.
My lips are sealed. My lips are sealed.
Oh, come on. You're not going to give anyone a clue?
I think you've given enough clues there, Dennis. Yes, George won't be happy if we go any further on that. But watch this space. Watch this space, boys. We don't need Josh Charnley, trust me. Okay, right. We'll move on to the poll this week. It was the incident with Steve Price and Wolfie. We had four options: blatant spear tackle, play on, Cumberland throw, or where did Steve Price put his finger? The results are in. 10% went for 10% went for Cumberland throw, which I thought was a bit low, really. I was a bit disappointed with that. I think we need to bring the Cumberland throw back. The Cumberland throw, of course, does sort of include that sort of leg across, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Dennis, you've got your leg over across a few times up there in the Lake District on your romantic weekends away.
I told you not to tell anyone about our romantic weekends away. You broke down.
Keep it up.
Come on.
I'm just filling time to get the percentages. Right. Okay. So Cumberland throw was 10%. Where did Steve Price's finger, who was an early runner to win this, came in at 20%, but it was a tie. 35% each went to blatant spear tackle or play on. So Sam, we're going to give you the casting vote. Where are you going?
Oh, play on. He's a big Disney-fied character.
Play on. Right, we should probably move on to Reader's Wives. No, sorry, Reader's Tries. Sorry.
Reader's Tries? What's that? Is that a new one? Have I got a new section?
Any listeners out there, we are open to Reader's Wives section on the podcast. but if you could just put it in the top of the script, Reader's Tries, as you send your pictures through, that would be wonderful. Okay, last week I was reprimanded for leaving the recording during Dennis's section. Unlike Sam, who persevered through and has now been left suffering from PTTBS, post-traumatic tackle.
Excuse me. I've got a letter here. It's from me mum. It says, "Dear Mr. London, please can Sam be let off from Dennis's tackle bags this week? He's still suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder from last week."
Sam, get it right, Sam. Post-traumatic tackle bag syndrome, PTTBS.
Yeah. So she sent a letter in. I forgot my kit. I need to get a refill on my wine.
Right. Okay.
So now, coming until the end of the season, the podcast will come with a health warning, a Brian Bevan health warning. Listener, the next 5 minutes can seriously damage your health. It's over to Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Feels like the pressure's on. Right. Okay. Last week on Tackle Bags, we proposed the Techno Ball, whereby enhancing and automating the business of touching down in the in-goal, creating a circuit which senses and detects the ball if it's been touched down, and then successfully an automatic indication of a try. So, did we not see that today? seeing a few tweets and things, and I actually watched the Saints game today. Saints scored a try in a corner, making some finishing off quite spectacularly, putting the ball down. And when you look at the still shot, was there a couple of blades of grass that of the white line touching the ball? Well, we'll never know, but with techno balls, we probably would have been able to prove it. And so obviously a cracking idea. And the fans of our podcast written in their droves, 68% said yes. Debbie wrote, I'd like to see Chris Hill's comb over with when it stands on end. So that's she always got a bit of a fetish there, Debbie. No, 30%. This is Sarah Neal. Wouldn't work for Kyle Wood. It wouldn't conduct. Bit of science there for you, Rob, eh? Other 2%. This is off Epileptic Fridge Boy. He said, why don't you just taser your testicles? So I don't think I will be doing that anytime soon. Anyway, lots of letters. This week, I can see, Rob's, you've gone dark. Sam, I've lost.
Well, I've actually got a message here because I've had a message here from the podcast 4020 from a chap. I don't listen to the podcast. Some bloke called Phil Kaplan. Says he likes the work you do. Dennis, you remind him of him. So anyway, move on.
Oh, right. Okay. I can't remember what he sounds like. This week, it's Septi Scrum. Okay. It's been a long time since a scrum has played too much or had too much significance in the game. Non-contested scrums only remain in function to tie up a group of players and create space, and then take advantage of score some tries off the back of the scrum. That's what we'd say, isn't it, eh? You listening?
What is
yeah, scrums, Dennis, yeah. God bringing all the forwards together.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. But the stats don't suggest there's many opportunities. In fact, the scum, I have to cut this bit.
Well, it's a quality night tonight, isn't it?
Right, okay, I'll start that again. In fact, the scrum produces only 2% of tries. So whether this is a sign that the defences are getting better or, you know, that the game has sort of like managed that aspect out, what I'm coming up with is a Septi scrum. So this is a scrum that needs 7 players in the scrum, thus leaving more space on the edges to exploit in terms of, you know, giving the chances to score extra tries and so on. It's a new dimension. So what I thought is that maybe rather than just sort of have 7, maybe make it that it's the captain's call. So like if they kick the ball to the touchline and there's a resulting scrum, they can choose the type of scrum to have. So like with 7 players tied up in the scrum, because you've got more an advantage as an attacking side. So that's it, Septi scrum. What do you reckon?
I think if they just kept the rules, enforced the rules and actually made people bind in a scrum, then there'd be plenty of room.
Mm. Rob? Mm.
What do I think of that? Well, I just want to know if scrum is an acronym or an abbreviation, because, of course, scrum stands for scrummage, hence it's an abbreviation, but it also stands for systematic customer resolution unraveling meeting in the US during a telecommunications meeting, which hence is an acronym. So maybe we'll put that to the listeners next week and see what they think.
Do you think it'd be discussed in such a forum?
I just think a systematic unravelling is basically a good description of tackle bags.
Right. Anyway, if you'd like to write to whatbevin@gmail.com, Brian Bevin on the Facebook page, Twitter @whatbevin, or you can direct message, and #whatbevin. Then I'll be glad to hear your response. Ooh. And if you think that's a good idea, I'll be writing the RFL. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm here every week.
Oh, dear. Right. Well, with Callum's curse being put on the back burner for numerous episodes, we thought it only fair with us playing Catalans, we brought his curse back. Let's see who Callum's predicting will be Catalans' danger man, or, more importantly, he's set to miss the game.
Mesdames, messieurs, le disc jockey Zach est de retour.
Warrington's next fixture, Catalan at home. It's always a tough one, but with them coming off the back of a heavy Challenge Cup defeat at the hands of Hull FC, and us beating Hull KR in the cup ourselves, I think you can probably see the best out of Warrington on let's hope a good surface if the weather is good. But Catalan can cause a stir, and they've got some players that are very, very helpful towards that. Tony Gigo, Lewis Tierney, Sam Tompkins if he's fit. There are plenty of players out the back who can damage Warrington. Look what they did to us in the Challenge Cup final all those months ago. But my danger man for this coming game has to be the fullback, Sam Tompkins, if he is fit. The amount of damage he's done in a Wigan shirt to Warrington in previous years is fascinating. And if he's playing, he will be seriously one to watch. Just so I don't slip into the unfortunate form I have with the danger men, I'm going to say Tony Gigo as the other danger man. Let's just hope he doesn't get injured.
Well, it's 2 plays 3. It's going to be a cracking fixture at the Halliwell Jones. Of course, if you add 2 and 3 together, it comes up with 5. Examples of 5, there are 5 senses, 5 Chinese elements, and of course, there are 5 vowels in the English alphabet. So to put a few consonants between those vowels in order to understand the elements of the game and put their senses all together. Let's have your predictions, boys. Sam?
Well, there was also that very famous pop combo 5 as well with the... Oh, no, they don't. They weren't famous, were they? Never mind.
Jesus.
The famous five.
Yeah, look at the boys from south of the river. Oh, did you read the famous five?
Lashings of ginger beer.
Yes, the dog's lost.
I actually read the secret 7. I actually preferred the secret 7 because I thought it had more depth and context to the script, really. To
I particularly enjoyed volume 8, Septiscrum. Yes, great addition.
Oh, dear. This will be the 3rd away game for Catalan on the bounce, basically. I think their only possible way of winning is getting a roll on early, and then, as Dennis mentioned, Kenny Everett and Sam Cassiano getting in a roll.
Kenny Everett? Did you just say Kenny Everett?
Edwards.
The best possible taste.
With his big hands.
Jesus, did you see when he did his little legs as a kick then? You need to have a shave, Dennis.
It wasn't the best. Thankfully, my screen is a bit blurry.
Yeah.
But
that's actually, no blur, that's a buff.
Actually, I see us winning this. I see us winning it quite well. It's next Saturday, so we've got an 8-day turnaround. I'm going Warrington Wolves 28. Dragons 10.
Oh. Right. Now, every week, have you noticed this, Sam? You go to Dennis and he goes, let's have your prediction first. I'm just doing something with my piece of paper. He does it every week now. And what he's doing this Price is Right. He's waiting for our scores and he's giving himself away at the start of the show.
Is it going to be 27-12 or 29-10?
Come on, Dennis. Rob, let's have your score.
Let's hear it from
Come
you,
on,
Rob.
I'm on to you. I've been watching all these... show. I know what you're doing. Come on.
Well, I think actually I agree. I think we've found our aggression. I think playing at home against Catalan got humiliated really the other day. So I've got us down 34-18.
Okay. Well, it's funny you should say that, Dennis, because it's staggering what you've come out with there, because I'm going 35-19.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear. All right, we're done for another week. Look out for an announcement on Twitter or Facebook soon about our special guest. You won't want to miss that. Until then, you know the try line, whatbevan@gmail.com or tweet whatbevan. So it's a freshly brushed teeth, bedtime story read, and his teddy bear tucked under the covers with him. It's a nighty-night from Sam.
Nighty-night.
And a damp sheeted, I've pissed the bed, wet dreaming insomniac, calling out, Mummy, can you leave the landing light on, please? It's a sleep type from Dennis.
Bishing you.
Come on, Wire, let's beat the French team and make our ride to the final an easy one. My name's Rob London. I'm off up the crack of dawn. Oops, I probably should rephrase that. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Got nothing, have you, Dennis? Nothing.
No. Absolutely. Fuck off.
I like Vanessa Paddington.